In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. In addition to the lessons I've already read, I wish to base our separate meditation on two selections from the prophecy of Isaiah, the first in chapter 30, beginning of verse 29. You shall have a song as in the night, when a holy feast is set, and gladness of heart as when one sets out to the sound of the flute, to go to the mountain of the Lord, to the rock of Israel. And the Lord will cause his majestic voice to be heard, and the descending glow of his arm to be seen, in furious anger, and a flame of devouring fire with a cloud burst and tempest and hurricane. The Assyrians will be terror-stricken at the voice of the Lord when he smites with his rod. And every stroke of the staff of punishment which the Lord lays upon them will be to the sound of cymbals and lyres, battling the brandished arm, he will fight for them. In Isaiah chapter 4, in that day the branch of the Lord shall be beautiful and glorious, and the fruit of the land shall be the pride and glory of the survivors of Israel. And he who is left in Zion and remains in Jerusalem will be called holy, everyone who has been recorded for life in Jerusalem. Then the Lord shall have washed away the filth of the daughters of Zion and cleansed the bloodstains of Jerusalem from its lips by a spirit of judgment and by a spirit of vengeance. Then the Lord will create over the whole site of Mount Zion and over her assembly a cloud by day and a smoke and a shining of flaming fire by night. For over all the glory there will be a canopy and a roof, that the deep air shade by day from the heat, and for a refuge and shelter from the storm and rain. Dear friends in Christ Jesus, Chag Sameach, as we say in Hebrew, happy holiday or festival. I hope that from my little sticker that we erected out in the vestibule, you figured out before you were coming in that we wish to observe that festival today. In Israel, there's our contest for competition to the most hearty sticker, and I doubt if I was to be in the running. But at least it might illustrate the general that goes on in that festival. I suppose the first and major question that we have to ask is why in the world would we, as Christians, want to observe an Old Testament festival like that? And the common confusion of many people is what they think of as simply a Jew festival. And indeed, it is imperative that something like this be done with the right presuppositions. We do not make justice like this, as some liberals might and do, to intimate that there really is no difference between Christianity and Judaism, that we don't need to do mission work among the Jews, that God's covenant with Israel is still valid, and that he's merely passed on another covenant with Christians, maybe, or even as a former professor at this institution recently intimated that a so-called Christian dialogue, that maybe these Christians should come hand in hand with a request for that Judaism would include us in their covenant. Rather, we will do such things in the full and open confession that we, the Christian church, are the Israel according to the Spirit in a new covenant, heirs of the promises and beneficiaries of all sorts of the Old Testament rights that have been fulfilled in Christ. And the liberals will undoubtedly label that as triumphalism, one of our favorite pitfalls. But for us, it will be plain that it is not the church's triumph over the synagogue that we see, but the triumph of the cross, the triumph of the suffering servant, who we confess God is your task alone, fully, representatively, and completely. If there is any merit in such an observance, it seems especially appropriate to do it for the Feast of Sukkot, which often in the Old Testament is referred to as the festival, and which is probably referred to or alluded to more times in both Testaments than any of the other three pilgrimage festivals put together, Passover not excluded. It was and is, as Judaism today, a time of extreme celebration, theoretically anticipating the celebration in heaven, especially in contrast to the austere days of penitence beginning with Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, 5 days preceding. Often the celebrations got out of hand, as ours do, and so we have the readings Ecclesiastes as a sort of a commentary on the festival, reminding us that even from the human side, that this too is vanity, is ephemeral, and will pass. Now, in contrast to all of that biblical and traditional accent on Sukkot, I think it's much like them, that for most Christians, I think Sukkot is the least known of the three pilgrimage festivals. The typology of Passover in connection with Easter and the post-Easter season is theoretically at least well established in the Bible and in the liturgical tradition, and the observance of Passover Seder, as we sort of relive the background of our Lord's institution of the Eucharist, is very common and I think a commendable innovation. The fact that such observance is today, in my judgment, might go a long way to relieve the deadly monotony, if not uniformity, that we often have in our services. The variety we have would turn them in about an extra biblical and direction which has no knowledge of the traditions of the Church Catholic. The Feast of Zeus, its very name, is preserved in our name Pentecost, at least for suggestions to anyone who asks the connection. But in the case of Sukkot, it's some different. In the early church, there were a few tentative attempts to link Sukkot liturgically with the Feast of Christmas, but these never caught on. And there must be some connection between that neglect and general neglect and the knowledge of Sukkot. I think a good illustration of how liturgical deficiency and the biblical deficiency very often tend to go hand in hand. Hence, in the little time available, we have to ask ourselves, you know, what the logical importance of Sukkot is. First of all, Sukkot is a harvest festival, falling at the same time that Thanksgiving Day fall in most parts of the world, except the United States. And it's excellent that all of our celebrations involve a unity of the natural and the historical. The redemption is always a matter of the body as well as of the soul, of sacrament as well as of the world. And because of this excellent harvest, there were not only thanksgivings, but there were prayers for rain. The Eastern Canaan, that the rains would start up again, the good crops would ensue. And at least in later times, these prayers were acted out and dramatized in great detail. With joy, they drew waters out of the wells of salvation. It is no accident that on the Feast of Tabernacles, our Lord is in our gospel today, says, out of me shall springs of living water. And later on, this was given all types of theological applications of the fertility of paradise, of the prime and meditation of winter, and so on. But of course, there are also historical accents that are very prominent, as indicated by the building of Zeus. In the Orthodox days of each street for the 8 days of the festival, reminding them of the time when they were pilgrims in the wilderness and had no abiding city. And the typology here for Christians is relatively evident. And I suppose one could observe that this pilgrimage scene is one of the intentions of procession in Christian churches. Well, we still are calling marching toward the promised land and have not yet arrived. Here there is, of course, both law and gospel. Both gospel and the fulfillment of the promises that we have been brought out of our Egypt and that Assyria for us has been defeated, but also law and we constantly reminded that we still yearn after the flesh pots of Egypt, that we still love our own houses better than the house of God. And when we think of the word feast, we probably think more of stuffing our bellies than of feeding our souls. And as we indicated, in all of these accents, there is a great eschatological emphasis, as the fruit hanging on the ship ought to indicate the fruit of paradise. But the calendar itself is changed to begin with the new creation rather than the old creation. And historically, that it should involve the pilgrimage of all nations to Zion, to the church, as they are converted and accept Christ as the fulfillment of the union of the feast. Now, I suppose one could ask finally, currently and jointly observe all of those scenes without paying any attention to the Old Testament festival of Sukkot. Well, I certainly hope so. But apart from the aspect of mere biblical literacy, also of reading the New Testament on more than a merely superficial level, this can also be a corrective for the problem that is especially indeed to orthodoxy, that our worship is reduced to abstractions, to mere doctrines, to ideas, in effect to metaphors, allegories, universals, rather than being connected with the particulars of the Christian faith that have been represented for us by the Holy Spirit in word and sacrament. So finally, one must stress that in Sukkot we are dealing with something sacramental. On the festival, the new cross was added to the Tamid, that is, additional sacrifices were added to the regular daily ones, as a way of showing that God was both, as it were, intensifying his grace on this special day, and the people responded with intensive thanksgiving to his grace. So let us, today, and I hope not for the last time for many of you, as the new Israel, together with ancient Israel, proclaim God's victory over the Assyrians, and go with them with gladness of heart, as we hope to do on the final day, to the accompaniment of flute and timbre and lyre, and pray that after God has finally cleansed us from the filth of our natural inclination, we may in his Son and by virtue of his merit be found under his overarching roof, under his canopy and pavilion, and thus as heirs of ancient Israel, bless ourselves with the same blessing that played such a prominent role in Old Testament worship and also in ours. Yahweh bless you and keep you. Yahweh make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. Yahweh lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.